What is going on, guys? Hello and welcome back to the goingfor2.com NFL sports betting show. It was a crazy week of football last week, week 14. We had, of course, Chris Boswell missing the kick at the end, slipping and not being able to tie up the game against the Raiders. Then, of course, the infamous Miami miracle down in Miami, the Dolphins upsetting the Patriots, Gronk whiffing on the goal line there, and Kenyon Drake getting in for a touchdown. Really, really fun week of football, a lot of great games, a lot of upsets, so it was a fun week of football. Unfortunately, Chris Boswell kind of fucked us, and he destroyed our moneyline parlay, but our teaser hit, and then Aaron Rodgers also did not throw for 283 yards, so that one lost as well, but the teaser hit, and then the parlay didn't do so great, so overall a losing week, but, you know, we can afford it for sure. We're still up $6,815 on the season. So we're going to do a little something different this week. It's just going to be a solo show, just me talking, and it's going to be a much, much, much shorter show than we normally have. No guest on this week, so I'm just going to talk about a couple of the storylines, a couple of things I saw from last week, and then we're going to get right into the picks, make you guys some money, and that'll be that. So to start off the show, I had to bring it up, and I can't wait to talk about it. So I'm sure it's been memed and just destroyed on Twitter, and the internet has had a field day with it, but ESPN has been going downhill for a long time, and on Thursday morning, ESPN hit an all-time low. Stephen A. Smith goes on First Take and is breaking down the AFC West matchup of the Chiefs and Chargers, and Stephen A. is trying to give his analysis and break down the game, and to be honest, I have no respect for Stephen A. Smith even before this. I don't take any predictions, any analysis of NBA or NFL, anything seriously. I don't watch him at all, but he's correctly, or should I say incorrectly, picked the winner of the finals from 2010 to 2016. His final prediction or whatever at the end, every single team that he predicted to win the finals lost for six straight years. So he really knows what he's talking about. But this was just unbelievable. I could not believe that. I know it's live, and that's what happens when you have live television, but I just cannot believe he came on the air, I'm sure you've seen it, and said the key for the Chargers to win the game was utilizing Hunter Henry, the tight end who's been out since the season started, and he said Hunter Henry had been having a great season all year long. Then, of course, he said that matchup that Hunter Henry will be with is with Derek Johnson, the linebacker of the Kansas City Chiefs, who is out of the NFL. He was on the Raiders. He was cut. He is no longer on the Chiefs. So, clearly, Stephen A. was just bullshitting. He doesn't watch the NFL. He clearly doesn't watch either of the Chiefs or the Chargers, and then of course he also incorrectly started off his predictions and analysis with saying Spencer Ware, who had been out for several hours prior to the show being talked about, and that, you know, that one I would honestly like give him a break because, you know, the news came up a couple hours before the show started, but still, just ridiculous, unbelievable. ESPN and First Take has lost all credibility with a ton of fans, and I just cannot believe that that happened. He was so unprepared. He literally, it's like when you go up in college when you have a presentation and you go up and you're making a presentation about something you don't really know what you're talking about, and you just try and bullshit it, and hopefully the other students in the class listening don't know what you're talking about either. But in Stephen A.'s case, the kids listening did know what the fuck that they were talking about. I've known Hunter Henry was out for months now, and he is not played in several months, so just unbelievable. Cannot believe that happened. He's lost a lot of credibility. This fucking podcast has more credibility than Stephen A. Smith right now, because we actually do our analysis, look at the injury reports, and make some winning picks, and we're up $7,000, so I think we've done a pretty good job there, but I just could not believe that that happened. I mean, Stephen A. was so unprepared, didn't know what he was talking about, and he gets his own show, First Take, and is incredibly famous, has a ton of Twitter followers, and that's the analysis you're getting is unbelievable. So that was my mini rant there. I truly cannot believe that that was allowed to happen, or that that did happen on live television. So one thing to mention, of course, last week we did lose a little bit of money. Of course, the teaser hit, but then the Steelers really fucked us, Chris Boswell there at the end. And so I'm on Snapchat the other day, and I look at like my stories or whatever of everybody. All there's a ton of them that pop up, like Antonio Brown and Julio Jones, Calvin Ridley. They all pop up. You can see what they're up to. So the Steelers lost us money. They lost to the fucking 3-10 Raiders. Ridiculous. A very, very terrible bet to lose. I mean, Josh Dobbs saw snaps in that game. It was a brutal loss, and then to have your kicker slip on the last game-tying field goal, really shitty. But anyway, on Snapchat, I see Juju Smith-Schuster posts, like, hours after the game. Like, I think it was, like, half a day after the loss to the fucking Raiders. They're almost out of the playoff picture. They're, like, fighting for a wild card with the Ravens right now, basically, and that division. So Juju Smith-Schuster is on, and he's, like, singing into, like, his fucking Porsche or something like that, and just, like, jamming out or whatever, and, like, smiling and everything. I'm like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, you just lost to the Raiders. Like, can we have, like, a week before, like, win another game, and then post, like, a fucking singing Snapchat story? Like, it really fucking pissed me off as someone who had money on the Steelers to see Juju, like, just fucking singing, having a blast on fucking Monday morning. Like, you guys just lost to the Raiders. You should be embarrassed. You're struggling to hold on to a playoff berth right now. It's just ridiculous. And speaking of the Raiders, big news out of their camp. They just fired GM Reggie McKenzie after a 2-9 start. Even after beating the Steelers, he gets fired. I think this is what happened. Is like Al Davis opens up the paper, and you know he's old. He still reads the paper, and every single headline every week for the last 5-6 weeks has been how Amari Cooper is just tearing it up in Dallas, changing that team. They're making the playoffs, and then Khalil Mack, who was traded to start the season, has just been having a fantastic year as well. And he checks Twitter every day and like sees all these Raiders memes about how they don't know what the fuck they're doing, and that Khalil Mack is basically Defensive Player of the Year right now, and Amari Cooper has truly, truly turned that team around. The Cooper trade has just been very, very interesting. Very interesting. Like, when it happened, everybody was roasting the Cowboys for giving up a first for him. And, you know, I still believe that they could have talked the Raiders down and gotten it him for, like, a second or even a third-round pick. I honestly believe that. I mean, Amari Cooper's young. He doesn't make a lot of money. But no other team put in an inquiry for fucking Amari Cooper. He was having a terrible year. He was awful in 2017. He just was a shell of his former self, who almost won Offensive Rookie of the Year. So I don't believe that the Cowboys still won that trade. They do not have a first this year. The Raiders, they have 5 first-round picks over the next 2 years, so we'll see what happens with them. But Reggie McKenzie has been fired. I still believe that the Cooper trade, I still think that the Raiders won it by a slight smidge. Like, I get, like, the Cowboys have a number one receiver. He's playing incredible, had 3 touchdowns this week. But I just don't, I don't think they could have easily, like, no other team was, like, they, he was on the trade block. They did not want him on the Raiders anymore. You could have easily, Jerry Jones easily could have just talked him down to a second-round pick easily. So it was a trade that worked out for both teams. I mean, the Cowboys got a great receiver, and the Raiders got a first for next year, and they're tanking. So an interesting trade. And then on the other hand, a trade where both teams really came out, like, scratching their heads after. The Golden Tate trade has been really terrible for the Eagles. They gave up a third for him. I mean, that's not a lot, but Detroit really utilized him way more than the Eagles are. The Eagles really don't know what to do with him. Carson Wentz isn't ever looking his way. He really doesn't do much for him, and had a terrible one catch game last week. And of course, you know, I started him in fantasy, but terrible, terrible trade there for both teams. I mean, you only got a third for him, and he was way more valuable to the Lions than he was to the Eagles. So interesting trades. We sort of see what's happening with them just weeks later after the trade. We can really see the impact on both squads. Each podcast, we usually give sort of a fun fact of one of the teams that we talk about, sort of an interesting stat that you may not know about. The one for this week may be the most interesting stat I've ever heard in my entire life. It just is extremely weird, just something that happened. The NFL and football is a weird sport, and crazy things happen all the time. So Of course, Michael Vick set the record and was the record holder until several days ago of the most rushing yards in a three-game span by a quarterback in NFL history. He had a game. He had games back in 2004 where he ran for 294 yards over a three-game period. That record has been broken as of last week. Out of all the people, Robert Griffin, Colin Kaepernick, Cam Newton, Russell Wilson, all those candidates could not touch that record. Josh Allen of the Buffalo Bills, over the last three games, has rushed for 334 yards on the ground, smashing Michael Vick's record, the greatest mobile quarterback of all time. It's just ridiculous. I mean, Josh Allen played terrible to start the year. He was getting a lot of shit on Twitter for it and just has not played well. And then he comes in and breaks a record held for a decade and a half by Michael Vick. Like, I am in shock by this. Is just an incredibly crazy stat. Who knew that this was part of a Josh Allen's game? But if it is, this is actually a quarterback that I think you can build around. I mean, if this is part of his game and you have to respect the run, him also being able to air it out 80 yards down the field, like, more power to him. But Josh Allen breaking a record by Michael Vick is just ridiculous. And speaking of other terrible quarterback play, Mark Sanchez last week was just, I mean, who thought that was going to work? Nobody. But it was worse than anybody could have expected. They had 0 points through three quarters to a terrible Giants team, and they were 6-5 or 6-6 coming into that game. Their season, the Redskins, is truly over. They are starting with Josh Johnson this week. He has not thrown an NFL pass since 2011. Josh Johnson hadn't seen the field in 7 years, and he's some sort of veteran. I sort of know his name. I didn't think he was in the league for a decade, but Josh Johnson has not played in an NFL game until last week in 7 years. So I don't know what to think about that game. The spread in that one is extremely weird. It's Jacksonville by 7. I don't know. He played really well in garbage time. He had a rushing touchdown and a passing touchdown. I think he had like 18 points in like a quarter. So maybe a sneaky sleeper DraftKings pick or something for cheap QB. But very strange. Josh Johnson will be starting. You know, you got QBs like Cody Kessler, Jeff Driscoll. All these injuries are piling up now. It's week 15. So very, very strange there. All right, let's get to our picks to continue our winning season here. Of course, last week didn't go as planned, but I love, love, love my teaser pick this week. I have an $1,000 10-point teaser right here. The first leg of the tease, a noon game, Green Bay plus 16. In the tease, that is the first leg. Green Bay has played well in their one game under Joe Philbin, who, of course, was famously fired after an 0-5 start with the Dolphins several years ago. But they looked really good at home against the Falcons. So their game was a blowout. So they've looked pretty good. And I talked about it on I think our Week 7 podcast, coincidentally with the Dolphins back in 2014, I believe it was, is that when a coach that everybody's just sick of, like Hugh Jackson, Joe Philbin, Mike McCarthy, when they get fired, the team, like, right after just plays, like, an incredibly good game. And that's exactly what happened for the Packers. They played really, really well, and it was a blowout against Atlanta there. So in this one, Green Bay plus 16. I don't see them losing to the Bears by 2 touchdowns. I can actually see them winning this game. I mean, it is in Chicago, but Aaron Rodgers, he's Aaron Rodgers. And I know the defense is really good, but it's a divisional matchup against their most heated rival. They're still not out of the playoffs. I mean, they're one game back of the fucking Vikings right now. So I could definitely see them winning this game. And so I love Green Bay plus 16. That's my favorite leg in this three-team tease. So that is my first pick. The next one, of course, talking about Juju fucking singing in his car. Yeah, great work, Juju, but you guys are not beating the Patriots this week. There's no chance of that. Even though it is in Pittsburgh, they're coming off a loss against the Raiders. I have New England plus 7.5 in my tees. So if, God forbid, the Steelers do actually pull the upset, they're not winning by more than a touchdown. So you get a hook there at 7.5. That is my second favorite leg in the tees. I love that one. And then to finish off the $1,000 10-point tees, Baltimore at home against a shitty, shitty Jameis Winston-led Tampa Bay Buccaneers team. I love the Ravens plus 3. So they can lose by a field goal in this one, and you can push, or they can win outright, and then that one will hit as well. So I love the Ravens this week. I'm starting Lamar Jackson in my fantasy championship. I had Damian Williams this week go off already, so I think I'm going to win a nice $300 there from fantasy season-long there. So hopefully Jackson has a good game, and I just really see Baltimore winning this game outright. So they just have to win, or they can lose by 2. I mean, if they lose by 3, you push, so it drops it down to about $700. But that is my 10-point tease. $1,000 wins you $800. I really like that one this week. I think all these teams win outright, especially Green Bay. I think they could pull the upset. Money line plus 220 there, so I can get behind that as well. That seems pretty juicy. So to finish off the podcast, I have 3 $50 flyer picks here. I have $50 on the over in the Houston Jets game that's happening later tonight, and then $100 on Cleveland team total over 19.5 points. I really like them to have a good week in Denver. I see a lot of points being scored in that game. I also like the over in that game of 44. So Cleveland's been red hot on offense. Baker's been playing incredible. So 19.5 is too low. That stuck out to me, really caught my eye this week. The team total under 20 points, they should put up at least 25, 30 points in my opinion. So we'll see that there. $50 on that. And then the last one, $50 on the under in the Atlanta Cardinals game. The Cardinals just put up 3 points at home against a terrible, terrible Lions defense. And Atlanta just looked lackluster against Green Bay. This line really confused me. I thought it would be more like 41, 42. But apparently it's 44. I don't really know how Vegas got there. But 44 points, I do not see a 24-20 game in this one. I really see more like 14 to 21. If that, I mean, the Cardinals looked awful last week. Could not put up a touchdown on the Lions at home. So that one confused me quite a bit. So I got $50 on that. So recap, $1,000 10-point teaser, New England plus 7.5, Baltimore plus 3, Green Bay plus 16, to win $800, and then $50 on the following 3, Houston, New York over 41, Cleveland, a team total over 19.5 tonight, and then under 44 in the Cardinals, Atlanta Falcons game. So those are my picks. Hopefully we can make some of that money back that we've lost in the last couple weeks. But thank you guys so much for listening. We really appreciate the views. And hopefully we've won you guys some money this year. Because like I said, if you follow the podcast from week one, we are up almost $7,000 on the season. You could buy yourself a shitty Lexus with that or something. So we really appreciate you guys listening and tuning in. So we will be back for week 16 next week with Tim Strobel, on and off contributor of goingfor2.com. He's going to help me break down the slate early in the week next week. So thanks for listening, guys. Really appreciate it, and good luck this weekend.